Wait, Feinstein it. We'll do it live.
Hello. Testing. Is this the operator? This tech support. I have complaints.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends broadcasting from Bod Bay. Sit and stay 82 feet above sea level at Intergalactic K9 Studios. Re-loosen your leashes, unlatch those cage doors, and distract your handlers to keep a shock collar status from being clamped down on your neck. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael and Randy?
Man. Jeremy, so good to hear you.
Oh, yes. Yeah, and this is the Murder Dog, and I am back. And as always, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCAT, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCAT.org.
Yeah.
Woohoo! It is Tuesday night, Wednesday morning, something like that. We're here. How are you guys?
I'm well.
Doing great. Doing great.
I'm good.
Excellent, excellent.
I spent the evening out shooting my rifle and my revolver, and it really feels good.
Nice. Is this very lever action?
Very jealous.
Yeah. My wife gave me a lever action Marlin 3030 for Christmas last year, and I was out running it around the block. It was fun.
Now, I have a Marlin 60. Is that just another word for the Marlin 3030? for math. If you like
well,
math.
30 and 30 does equal 60, but I don't know what the Model 60 is. It's
a
lever 22. Action.
It's no. Oh, okay. The Marlin 60 I have, it's my 22 rifle. It's kind of like Billy's first gun, like you get a 12-year-old or a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah, this is a lever action that looks rifle. Like the old-fashioned Winchester 73,
I'm hearing that kind. I'm hearing the theme song to Bonanza when I'm picking.
Oh, yeah. That's why rifle. I love it. I just think they're great. So anyway, they're really fun to shoot. And also, I need to, when I get out my, I have a little revolver, and when I shoot it, I feel really non-powerful because I miss all the time. But when I use the rifle, I'm okay, so then I feel better.
Randy's the good, Jeremy's the bad, and I'm the ugly.
Yeah, that works.
I'll go with it.
I'm just thinking about lever-action rifles suddenly. All right.
Well,
yeah. Oh, they're just fun. You could get automatic, of course, is easy. Every time you pull the trigger, it goes off. But then they that's an assault rifle. But then there's, you've got the lever action is my favorite. You've also got what's the other one? The other kind of rifle? Now I can't even remember now.
Bolt action?
Yeah, the bolt action, And the bolt action,
black powder.
It's just not as much fun to me. So I love the lever action. So.
Yeah, bolt actions are the most accurate, though.
Oh yeah. They're slower though. They're the slowest of all. Well, they're not as slow as a muzzle loader, but they're slowest of the other types. They're very powerful, and they'll go the furthest out there. But you get old, and a lever action's, it's only good out to a couple hundred yards, but I can't see any further than that anyway, so who cares?
That's all right. I'm not that old. I can't see that far out either.
Muzzle loaders aren't technically guns under some definitions, so.
Yeah.
There are people in Wyoming that have been arrested for felonies, usually drug stuff from years ago, that hunt with black powder rifles because they're not allowed to own a gun, but they're allowed to own a black powder rifle because it's not legally a gun in Wyoming.
That works out, and the deer is just as dead when they're done with it.
Yeah.
This is true.
Bow hunting's big here, too.
Do you have deer up there? Is that right? That's what we have down here.
Everyone's a felon here. Well, there's deer in every state in America, but there are antelope in Wyoming, and I mean, in town.
Well, for the deer and the antelope play, isn't it, Michael?
Yeah. We see antelope in town sometimes. It's really strange and beautiful.
Buffalo roam there too.
Yep.
Well, a lot of those are dead. That's why I'm trying to bring them back. That's why I'm going to start a bison farm. they almost killed the buffalo off once.
You're raised enough to get out of town and start a bison farm yet?
No, not yet. Working on that. Slowly but surely, you know.
Well, Nick might have some advice as to.
Nick's one of the reasons I'm doing this. Him and I talked about this a year or so ago. We were talking one day, and I was bouncing some ideas off him, and I was asking him questions about his yak farm, and I was like, "That's a, you know, it's something I'd like to do," and that's actually what pushed me. I mean, I've been talking about this for like over a year now, I guess, because yeah, ever since he and I first had that conversation, because I always envisioned like retiring to a farm at like retirement age, you know, just a tiny little farm, hang out, you know, kind of live, finish my days out there. But yeah, after talking to Nick about it, I'm like, wait a minute, I could do it now. Why not do it now? I'm still young enough. I still have, you know, I'm still in decent shape. Why not do it when I can actually make use of it? And I was going to do yak like him, but I didn't want to be like a copycat. So, you know, he talked to either reindeer or bison. And bison just became the easier choice because you can do those in more places. You have to be in a, you know, colder climate to do reindeer.
Would you need to get somewhere where land is a little cheaper than Long Island?
Oh, definitely, yeah. I'm pretty sure my neighbors would have a real issue with a bison farm. Heck, I brought one bison back here. They'd probably freak out.
Yeah.
My buddy was just from out of town for a day or two with me, and he was going to bring one of his goats with him. And I wish he would have. It would have mowed my lawn for me, but my neighbors probably would have had a heart attack.
Have there ever been any bison on Long Island?
I can't imagine there were. I mean,
Has a bison ever set foot?
There were bison everywhere in America at one point.
Yeah,
but before
the White Devil bought Manhattan off the Indians for like a, you know, a bag full of trinkets, there wasn't a bridge. Yeah. So how would the buffalo get here? I'm on an island, man.
Buffalo can swim.
Oh, this is true, but I don't know. That's a pretty deep chasm between the island and the mainland.
There was probably a land bridge back then too. I mean, the
possible, sure.
Definitions of land boundaries are not set in stone. Even the ones that are set in stone change with time.
Well, this is true, but I guess maybe it's my government schooling. I guess I kind of always just either thought or assumed that the buffalo didn't really make it too far eastward. They were more like, you know, Midwest and further out, that whole thing. But maybe they were everywhere. Who knows?
Well, there is that Mississippi River that's really big.
It's not big everywhere, though. There's places across. You can jump over it up in Minnesota.
Oh, all the way at the top, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Huh.
Well, so the buffalo, they just have to go north and go around the corner up there.
Yeah, there you go. Take the long route. Scenic route.
Yes.
I mean, you wouldn't really have to swim across the Mississippi all you have to do is not drown, and, you know, the wind will take you to the other shore. All you need is one pregnant bison to make it to the other side.
Might take you a while if you didn't bother swimming, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could probably swim.
Well, I know they can swim, but, you know, like I said, I just never thought of it. I don't know. I didn't think.
What's this got to do with liberty? It's got everything to do with liberty, actually.
Well, yeah, I'm trying to become freer with my bison. Yeah. So absolutely, it has everything to do with liberty.
But the bison will set you free.
You know, in a couple of years from now, Nick and I will have, like, you know.
A couple of years from now, you'll have a bunch of bison, and when the man comes by to hassle you, you can say, I do not, the white man's laws do not apply to me.
Oh, yeah, man. If I start wearing, like, you know, animal skins and leather moccasins and stuff, yeah, you may want to send somebody out to check on me.
Yes. Your Indian name will be Jeremy Two Knives.
Oh, too soon? No, never.
And then in the remake, they'll Photoshop it out, and the knife will become a walkie-talkie.
Or a Pepsi can.
Now, the walkie-talkies, so in E.T. for the 20th anniversary issue, the idiotic director, what's his name? That nobody?
Spielberg.
Spielberg, yeah.
That hack.
Not Photoshopped, but yeah, he, you know, changed... pixelated out the rifles that the police were holding and put walkie-talkies in their hand because, you know, that's what makes people pay attention to police is that they have walkie-talkies. No, it's the guns. He was hiding the gun in the room, literally, and then later said it was a mistake.
It's a mistake. Okay, maybe one of them, but it wasn't
accidental. But he said he regretted.
Oh, you know, okay.
He felt it was a mistake. It was an accident. I was like, yeah, okay. There was a new guy working, and he, you know, pressed the wrong button, and
He didn't understand.
So. And no one noticed. No, but what was the Pepsi can one? I saw that one of you, but what was that a reference to?
I don't actually know. There was something that was going on recently with Pepsi and China or North Korea. I don't really remember, and I don't, because I don't pay attention to the news. It was just humorous, you know.
I found it
funny, but anyway, yeah, spices, yeah. But you know, so knives and bison, the road to freedom.
to Long Island.
Yeah, well,
knives and bison, the road from Long Island.
As I was saying, you know, a couple of years from now, hopefully, you know, next festival we go to a couple of years from now, Nick and I will show up. You know, he'll be on yak back, I'll be on bison back. It'll be a hoot.
Yeah. It will be. I think Nick is going to be at the Midwest Festival in June, if I recall.
That is the plan. I hope to be as well. I mean, I
hope you will too.
I've purchased my campsite already. I would like to be there.
Yes, I purchased my ticket. I used Bitcoin.
Oh yeah. Well, yeah. Of course.
Bitcoin. Bitcoin?
Bitcoin. Well, is a wonderful cryptocurrency.
You get 15% off your ticket with if you
explain
use Bitcoin.
There's still people who don't know what that is.
Well, I'm probably like one of the worst hosts to explain Bitcoin because I still barely know about it. I know how to receive it, know how to buy it. Bitcoin it's a cryptocurrency. It's basically think of it as like digital cash. You can keep it stored on your phone or on your computer. It's the random, you know, numbers and code that ties only to you and one specific coin, as they're called, or pieces of coin, and you know, there's a blockchain that's involved where you
it's the cryptocurrency that's worth 10,000 times as much as Bitcoin, right, Michael?
Yeah,
10,000 is about right. Sometimes, well, 20,000 times as much.
Well, last I checked, Bitcoin was currently hanging still over 1,700, so that's Bitcoin still somewhere in the 3 cent range. Something like
that. It doesn't wander so much by the dollar, but compared to Bitcoin, and it tends to be like between 1/10,000th of a Bitcoin and 2 or 3 10,000ths. Isn't that about right, Michael? Or do you watch that?
Oh, I don't know. Sounds right.
I think it's somewhere Bitcoin? In there. Yes.
I don't know. I'm putting Freedom Fiends Digest on Stitcher right now. I'm not paying attention. I'm the third wheel tonight. You guys are running.
Well, you're not the guy that does the day trading of Bitcoin then.
Somebody does.
Somebody does that.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
I'm using that new podcast service for people who like the police. It's called snitcher.com. I don't like the police. I'm not using snitcher. That's funny, though.
Well, the Freedom Fiends are back, gentlemen.
Yes.
And we were about to speak a little bit about liberty, I think. Yeah. And which is the general theme that underlies the Freedom Fiends, of course, being freedom and fiend. That's short for fiend, right, Michael?
Yes.
You were here at the birth of this show, so that
they tell me
figured that. The first time I saw it, I said to myself, "What's a fiend?" But I figured it out eventually. But What do you see as, you know, kind of a bottom line? What's you know, liberty mean in terms of a libertarian? Is there any short, what do you call it, the elevator speech that had 20 seconds? Jeremy, what would you say if somebody said, what's a liberty about, libertarianism, or whatever you want to call it?
I would probably, you know, I'd probably usually preface it with it's really an individual thing, because I don't think it's, I mean, I can't.
It's one thing, and I made the rules. It's set in stone.
Oh, okay. There you go. Well, anyway, any hoodle.
Well, I don't know.
For me, it's all about, you know, personal freedom and responsibility intertwined. And, you know, I kind of come from the, you know, you leave me alone, I'll leave you alone school of thought. Basically, you know, the kids version, you know, don't hit people, don't take their stuff type of thing, you know, just like everybody.
You're wandering in a little bit to the non-aggression principle.
Yes. Yes.
Where do you see that fitting into it?
I think it fits in. I mean, I'm a proponent of the non-aggression principle, which for anybody who doesn't know is essentially the non-initiation of aggression, which means it doesn't mean you're a pacifist, even though I have come across a couple of friends recently I've met who are pacifists. I didn't think any of them existed, but they are, but you know, self-defense is okay. But yeah. So basically, you know, you don't mess with me, I don't mess with you. And if you do mess with me, well, then you open yourself to being messed with. But yeah,
you pull a knife.
Hey, now. But that's just, to me, it's just, you know, like I said, liberty is just not just freedom for you to do what you want, but also the responsibility and understanding that you have to give afford the same to others. So it's different for everybody, but it does involve allowing the same for others, because otherwise you're not really being there's not much liberty if you think you're taking it all for yourself, you know, because then it's going to be.
Is there another thing that I think that some people, they try to expand the definition of libertarianism, and I don't know, when I talk about libertarianism, I'm talking about, you know, really base level libertarianism in terms of I would like to see no state at all. Now, on the way to no state, I would love to see less state power and that sort of thing. But honestly, I believe that the state is illegitimate, and that it has, as an entity that relies simply on violence to have its will, it's illegitimate. Now, I don't have a problem with what you might call governance, would that be a way to put it? You know, ways of organizing society.
Sure.
But I much prefer them to be along voluntary lines, so that people could find ways to get done. There's a lot of the same things that you have to do, but do them voluntarily rather than just having this organization that is has a monopoly on force and uses it. But a criticism that I see a lot is that libertarianism wouldn't fix X or Y, and just because you have a rule, and you said the rule, you know, the non-aggression principle, just because you have a rule that no one is allowed to initiate force against another person, period, that's not enough. You know, I think that it is enough, because libertarianism, it's just a kind of a minimal political philosophy. It's not a comprehensive, you know, worldview. It's not a system of morals, in the sense that most people would agree that a lot of things are wrong, but they wouldn't necessarily agree that they should be crimes. And libertarianism would only forbid things that were of harm to other people, as opposed to... you know, I mean, if you were, you know, just a thoroughly nasty person and screamed at everybody you saw, most people would think that you were a pretty nasty person and would not like you. But libertarianism wouldn't have anything to say about your nastiness.
Meow. I just got a captcha that was the word tampon. I've never had that. It said welcome and tampon were the words.
Did you spell it right?
Yeah.
Did they let you in?
I got in.
Okay.
We'll be back.
We're not trespassing.
That was also an example of liberty.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media is not easy, but it is effective. Making the world a better place with Great Liberty Media doesn't even pay very much at all. Sometimes we even have to pay out of our own pockets. But we do it because we have to. For you. And for the children. Here at the Freedom Fiends, we've been producing amazing and effective Liberty Media every day since 2011. Radio shows, podcasts, movies, music, cryptocurrencies, and yes, even memes. The Freedom Fiends also run the world's only Liberty Media Teaching Hospital and the world's only voluntarist media university. Our hands-on classes educate and shape hundreds of the great Liberty speakers of today and tomorrow, and they, in turn, will teach and inspire others. Heck, even the ones who got fired or quit in a huff still hold useful skills and equipment to hone their own Liberty Media and teach others. Freedom Fiends Media and our students' media is a rising groundswell to help create happy Liberty lives around the world and maybe even on to Alpha Centauri. Kitty cats and puppies like living in Liberty homes more than in statist homes. So please donate to the Freedom Fiends, if only for the kitties. Hashtag please donate Freedom Fiends, think of the kitties.
Yep. Yep.
Man, every time.
Every time.
I don't know why I bother to meow when you're on, Randy. It's always been swallowed up by the Wampus Cat. Every time I try to wait, and you just nail it every... It's nailed every time.
Well, we're back. Freedom Fiends are back. This is Randy England, and Michael Dean is here, and Jeremy is here, the murder dog.
Yes.
And we're talking about... Wait, why is he the murder dog?
We got to explain that. Sounds bad. You don't murder dogs. You love dogs.
No, yes, I do love dogs. But that is, murder dog is the name that we use affectionately for pit bulls and pit bull breeds. And I specialize in taking care of them. And I have one of my own. So, yeah, just became a name that got thrown at me and kind of stuck. So, it works.
So, you don't murder anyone. You don't even murder dogs.
No, no. Murder is not really my thing. You know, too messy.
Leave that to your murder dog.
Yeah. My OCD, it would take forever cleaning up stuff like that. It would just drive me insane, so I just don't bother.
Murder?
Yeah, man.
Wow. We were talking.
Out of context, there. Fiends right there.
Get on that, Travis.
Okay. Gentlemen, I believe that, you know, we were talking about liberty and the definition of it, and the reason that we were starting into that is about a week and a half ago, and I'm elected to talk about this because I'm both a libertarian and a Catholic, and it was...
Yeah, your guy's out of line, dude.
By the Pope.
You get to talk to the Pope, man. Have a talk with that guy.
Well, the thing is, you know, he sent a letter to they call it the Pontifical Academy of Social Sciences, and I think the Vatican has like some of these little groups, committees that get together that you know, tell the Pope,
wait,
you
science?
Know, well, the latest science wait, is that...
The Catholic Church can use the word science?
It's in quotation marks, Michael.
Ah,
science.
Totally. They've been into science longer than anybody else anywhere. They're totally for it. They need to have some... Their group say to them, now, when you talk about the the universe, we think it's been around for about 13.7 billion years. The Pope wants to get that stuff right. So that's, he uses them as advisors, but he advises them. And he wrote a letter to this Academy of Social Sciences, which deals with, well, social sciences, whatever those are. I know it includes politics. I know it includes law.
It includes their social agendas.
So BS is basically what it is.
The church with the Pope. Yeah.
Well, it isn't anything that I've ever studied much of, so I don't care too much about social sciences. I took a course called that once, I think, in school,
yeah.
And it was really boring, right? So, yeah. But anyway, in the letter, and there's a big fuss made about it in the media and everything, and because he specifically does attack libertarians or libertarianism. Now, this is a four-page...
You're nobody. Tell the Pope wants you dead.
That's I think, yeah, it does kind of raises the awareness. And the Pope started out in the section. Now, really, the stuff where he talked about libertarians, this is a 4-page long letter. It's only one good long paragraph that he goes after us. So we got to get the most out of that paragraph. And there was some positive stuff in the letter in there. He actually said that he really didn't think that a welfare state was a good thing, that just giving people stuff and having them not work was good. And I thought, well, I kind of like that, because I didn't know if maybe we were headed toward a socialist thing totally in that. But he said, no, that's really bad, because it just, people would despair if all they did was just sit around and get some money and stuff. And so that was good. But then he got down to this section on libertarians, and I read the thing, and I was not real happy about it. He called it libertarian individualism.
Ooh.
And condemned individualism. Now, do both of you guys call yourselves individualists?
No, but I'll answer to it.
I actually do. If somebody forces a label on me, I'm an individualist anarchist. So I technically do, but on the whole,
we are individualists. Don't.
Well, do you use individuals to mean that you are a selfish jerk? Is that how you describe yourself?
But no, I think the Pope is picturing like Mr. Burns on The Simpsons when he says libertarian.
Well, when you read the way that we're characterized, and not just in the letter, but there's a lot of people that write about this, that I know are Catholics, who are basically on the social justice warrior side of everything, that the word individualist is really selfish jerk, is what they mean by it, and they say, you know, a little closer thing is that, well, this is the kind of person who could never treat another person like they would want to be treated themselves, and who would never, you know, Jesus said, if whatever you did to the least of these, you did it not to me, and they would never think in terms of that. And I read this and I'm pulling my hair out and screaming, no, this is exactly what we believe. You can't have the idea of an individualist, it means as much respect for everybody else. I mean, everybody else is an individual, right? I mean, Jeremy, you say, well, I'm an individualist. Does that mean that you leave other people alone?
Well, yeah.
As a matter of fact, you don't even have any control over whether people leave you alone. You only have the control over what you do.
This is very true, because I try to get people to leave me alone, and they don't always want to do that. Exactly, because that's what I was saying in the last segment. You know, when you asked me for my definition of liberty, and I, you know, when I talk about liberty and freedom, I, you know, like I said, it's not just about me wanting it; it's me affording it the same to others. So yeah, it's not about just because. He seems to be using the word individualist the same way that a lot of people use the term isolationist as like some kind of derogatory. Thing,
yes,
because you don't
yes.
want, you know, like Ron Paul was, degraded for, you know, he's an isolationist. He's horrible. Yeah, because he wants to leave
people
alone.
He doesn't want to bomb all the countries.
It's a slur.
But it seems like, I mean, again, I haven't actually read this, but you obviously have, but it sounds right away to me that he's just, the Pope here is just another person who basically read the title of Ayn Rand's book, The Virtue of Selfishness, and determined that, you know, all libertarians believe this, and that they're just greedy, you know, the whole greedy, they're greedy, they don't care about people. Like, that just automatically comes out because they just erect these scarecrows all over the place so they can light them on fire and go, see?
He's kind of the Pope is kind of the king daddy busybody of the world, or one of them. He's like, he likes to tell people how to think, you know, not just in religious context, but in every context. Like, he recently, maybe in that, even in that same letter, like, criticized the use of the term mother of all bombs for that thing that Trump dropped, you know, and the problem isn't that a bomb is dropped. It was that the sacred word mother was used to describe a bomb, you know, and he wants that to stop. Like
I miss that one completely.
Who stands up in front of the world and says, "Stop using this word. It harms. It triggers."
Well,
you know,
Pope.
You know, there are a lot of things. Now, as far if you're not a Catholic, I don't know what you know. The Pope. I mean,
equivalent
some people
for Protestants. Oh, it's Glenn Campbell.
Well, no. I don't mean it. Well, poor Glenn Campbell. But what I'm saying is that he's the leader of Catholics, and when he does speak on certain things, the issues of what the faith is or what moral issues are, you know, I follow him. I'm not perfect Catholic or anything, but I do try. And I follow him, but social theories and things like that, the Pope does not stand in any particular teaching authority that any Catholic is bound to follow. So it turns out to be just advice. And one of the troubles that I have with this letter is not only do I maybe not agree, he never gets to the level of analysis of analyzing what I believe as a libertarian to even, he doesn't criticize anything that I believe. You said the word straw man, Jeremy, mm-hmm. And straw man might be generous in the sense that you're making an argument of something that you understand isn't true. I'm not sure if he even understands that his definition of what a libertarian is, particularly a libertarian who is in his own church and what we would believe, I'm not sure his definition even stands up or even matches any real human being that's walking around. I don't even think it matches you guys, who I know neither one of you is Catholic, right?
No,
I was raised Catholic, but I'm not.
I was Episcopal for 4 years, and that's Catholicism with half the light, the guilt. It's Catholicism light.
Yeah. Well, you know, a secular or atheist libertarian, you know, frequently will
identify.
I've drank
the blood.
Have you?
Yeah.
Not if you were in a Catholic church, but we won't get into that.
I've eaten the flesh. We had a plan.
Listen, what you do on Saturday night is not what we're talking about.
We were in boarding school. We were talking about putting LSD on the communion wafers. Probably
yeah,
only
you
didn't
go to
do
hell
it
for that.
Couldn't get LSD. A very colorful hell, but yeah.
Technicolor hell.
You wouldn't like it. Not the one that I'm aware of.
I heard Norm MacDonald today was saying that when he was a kid and he took acid, they told him to have flashbacks. And he's like, wait, you mean I can buy this drug once and 20 years from now I'll get high from it again? Give me some. And he said it turned out to be a lie.
Yeah, I was always bothered by that too. I was always told I get flashbacks.
Where's my flashbacks?
Exactly.
Okay, that's the title of the show, right
there.
Where's
my flashbacks?
Go on. Continue that. About the Pope.
Well, all I was saying was that either a secular or an atheist libertarian that wasn't identified as being a Christian or a Catholic Christian, they often will identify themselves as individualists, like you said, Jeremy. And, you know, we kind of see that's kind of the, what, don't tread on me, Gadsden flag sort of thing.
Yeah.
But really, though, I know so many of you people, and in real life...
Hey, what do you mean, you people?
You people that I just said, people that aren't religious libertarians, and honestly, you're really no better or no worse than most other people, except you're far more likely to respect the rights of other people, which makes you better than the run-of-the-mill guy. And then libertarian Christians, and many of whom, you know, are Catholics. There's a whole lot of Catholic libertarians out there.
Yes.
If you look at Jeffrey Tucker and Tom Woods and there are so many. There are so many. Who's that?
Bob Murphy.
I think he's a former
Robert Murphy.
Catholic.
No,
he's a former.
I've heard him and Tom talk. I'm pretty sure they both are. Anyway.
Okay, well,
we'll be back.
Could be wrong. Of course I could be wrong.
Worms.
Yeah.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists who think you need a government permission slip for everything? Everything you do is an A to B conversation, and the government should see their way out of it. Create true free markets by adopting the BIPCOT No Government License. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows use or modification of any product, service, or software except by governments or government agents.
Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Funeral, my trial. It's the name of Nick Cave record. I like it.
We're back.
Oh, no. We're good.
Freedom Fiends.
We're fine.
Well, we were talking about the letter that the Pope sent to the Academy
of Social Sciences.
Come on now. Now let's be fair, guys. But anyway, talking about, you know, libertarians like you guys, fair. You know, just regular libertarians. And I was about to mention that if you have libertarian Christians, whom I include Catholics, you know, who completely accept, I mean, you know, live and say the best we can, you know, the Christian ideals of, you know, love of others and not doing to others what we would not want done to ourselves. That's all stuff that's both Christian and libertarian. And, you know, our flag may not say, don't tread on me, but it's going to say, don't tread on your neighbor, which really is exactly the same thing. And as a practical standpoint, that's, you know, as we were talking with, you know, Jeremy, you're, in fact, the only way that you can really be a libertarian is by being willing, you know, to treat other people, you know, that way. Treat them the way you would want to be treated, because you can't actually control what anybody else does. So we're all in that position of you mentioned, you know, the responsibility that we have. That's a responsibility that we do have. So if there's an accusation that we're individualists, it's not that's meant in a selfish way or just, you know, just me and nothing else. It's individuals that we respect. And if you don't have that, the collectivists, I mean, they can justify any kind of theft they want or whatever, cruelty, murder, I don't care, you know, as long as it serves, you know, what they call the common good. And that's another thing that was in this letter, this whole thing about the common good and how libertarians, you know, don't give a whoop about the common good. Oh, there's one thing first that I mentioned that was in this letter. And let's see, what did the Pope wrote? Oh, I cannot fail to speak of the grave risks associated with the invasion of the positions of libertarian individualism, and get this, at high strata of culture and in school and university education. Apparently, we have infiltrated the highest levels.
Wait, there's still a college somewhere where every professor is not to the level of Nancy Pelosi?
Pope Francis, you spelled progressive wrong.
Pope. Yeah, yeah. You know, also, just, like, this guy's literally...
You should know
this
that.
Guy,
isn't he a Marxist?
He is.
No, he says that he's not a Marxist or a socialist, but, you know...
Okay, you know what he is? He's a guy friendly. He's a guy sitting on a gold throne. Literally a throne made of gold, telling people to, you know,
there is something
give their money
very
away.
Very wrong with that. And even when I was like still a practicing Catholic, I always found that extremely odd.
If the Catholic Church if the Vatican sold all of their things and then just lived, you know, a poverty
pay,
or even
pay,
like a
they could pay off the national
life.
Debt of the USA.
They could feed every poor person in the world for 100
you guys,
years probably.
You guys are nuts. They don't have anything like the wealth of, say, Bill Gates.
I'm looking at this picture. The Pope is standing in front of his gold throne holding a platinum cross in his hand.
Yeah.
Platinum cross.
Are you really believe that the Vatican doesn't have more money than Bill Gates?
They have. Well, there's an awful
now,
lot of
when
wealth
you, when you
in
talk
that
about
small
real
little
estate,
section of the world.
Like in, in that small little section, they've got, you know, what is it, 20 acres or 30 acres or whatever it is. But like, just take my hometown where I live. All we got is a church and a school and a rectory where the priest lives, okay? I mean, there's Am I really supposed
that's
to
your
go
church.
In and say?
I'm talking about the Vatican. The Vatican
well,
is
no. They got nothing over. They got nothing there but just the 20 acres they're sitting on, plus yeah. these individual churches
the
around the world. And so, when you say their vast wealth, I guess if you added it all up, it would be enormous. But it just belongs, really to just the people that built those things in all those places. So when you talk about the wealth, you really want to just talk about just sitting on that one spot on 20 acres.
Here's an article on a Catholic magazine called On Faith, and the article's called Sell the Vatican, Feed the World, and this is written by Catholics. So
I think that's crazy. They couldn't feed the world. They couldn't feed the world. You know. Once, unless we had a miracle of the loaves and fishes at the same time. Half the time, they're in debt.
Meow, meow.
Meow. Yes.
Meow. We're getting his eye. He's all ired up.
No.
We'll continue this in the second hour.
Yeah. Randy's just going to talk you to the eye. We shouldn't tell him.
The Michigan Peace and Liberty Coalition is proud to present the 5th Annual Midwest Peace and Liberty Fest. It will be held at the Circle Pine Center in Delton, Michigan, just outside of Kalamazoo, starting Thursday, June 22nd, and going through Monday, June 26th. That's right, Liberty Fest is getting longer and stronger. There will be presentations, discussions, bacon duels, and outdoor activities in an environment that is both family and grown-up friendly. There will be special appearances by Jeffrey Tucker, Dana Martin, and a few of the Freedom Fiends. If you have only talked about what a free society would look like, this is your chance to live it and see it with your own eyes. Now round up your friends and family and get them registered today at mplfest.org. And there's a discount for paying with Bitcoin. That's mplfest.org. Dogs welcome. Longer leashes recommended.
This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon high atop Financial Bees Plaza on the artificial satellite LibPair 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCAT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except government.
Fiend phone.
Learn more
phone.
At BIPCAT.org. So we are back.
Yeah.
I am Jeremy. I am here with Randy, and Michael is back just in time. And in the first hour, we were talking about the letter the Pope wrote to one of his council. I guess I forget the actual title, Randy. It was a long one. I know that one of his little organizations he has over there. But where he said some not so nice things about libertarians that were basically not true at all. But.
And then
that's
I said
where we left off.
That they should sell the Vatican and feed the poor, and then Randy started swearing at me during the break.
Oh, Michael, I apologize sincerely for that.
I've never heard you swear. Like, you've been doing the show
years. You haven't hung out at a campfire with Randy, have you?
There's a rule on this show. It's called the Carell rule, and Randy said if I mention it one more time, I'm crazy. But I'm mentioning
too late.
It for the first time in this show to the
late.
Audience. And the Carell rule is named after the another host on our network who goes by the name Carell, who is an inveterate liberal from San Francisco of the homosexual persuasion. I don't know who persuaded him he's homosexual, but he's a fella from San Francisco who, the day that Ronald Reagan died, said during the break, in the ad break, when they weren't on the air, to his show host that he wanted to F and F Ronald Reagan in his F and F and something F. And the board op messed up and left the mic open, and it went out on air, and Carell lost all his stations and had to struggle to get back just a few of them. You know, it took this long. I mean, when did Reagan die? Long time ago.
And been a while.
Yeah, so there's I made up the rule called the Carell rule, which is we don't say anything. Not only not cuss, but not cuss or say anything we wouldn't say on air during the breaks. Basically, from the time we connect to the network, 10 minutes before the show till a couple minutes after the show and all of the breaks in between. Because sometimes if the board op messes up, I have heard this. We are on the show is on the radio in the town I live in Wyoming, and I listen on the weekends when it's a replay, and I have heard times that we are talking over the ads. You know, the board op left, different board ops we don't have anymore, but it could happen anytime. You know, who knows? Board op gets an emergency call, has to, you know, some family emergency or something, has to go, just forgets, you know, isn't there. So anything could happen. Could happen to anybody.
Or you know, gets upset because, you know, they get yelled at all the time for being bad, and then they just do it on purpose to mess with us.
Yeah, that's possible, too. Yeah.
I don't know about us. It's usually good cop, bad cop when it's you and me.
Yeah. Well, that's how we planned it. It's really two bad cops, but that's how we play it. So it sounds...
Well, no, I took what you taught me at the very beginning when I first started to heart, man. One of the first lessons you taught me was always get the board op's name, always be nice to him because he can make or break you.
Yeah. Which is what I learned from some old blues musician when I first started playing in bands. He said, Michael... He was a white guy, but he sounded like, Michael, always learn the sound man's name. He's the most important person at the show. He can make or break you. You know, apparently this feed the Vatican, sell the Vatican and feed the poor makes other Catholics angry, too, because I'm reading this article about how comedian Sarah Silverman said the same thing should happen. She said it on Bill Maher's HBO show, and it went viral on YouTube, and... A lot of Catholics were really upset about it and saying, you know, nobody could get away with this if they were talking about Israel, the state of Israel, and, you know, the head of Israel.
Oh, I remember. I'm remembering that. Like, yeah.
They pulled the Jew card on her. The Catholics said, oh, the Jewish girl, you know. Yep. And
I remember that.
Yeah. So,
I guess, it's kind of interesting, though, you know, when you talk in a liberty context, every penny that, you know, the Vatican gets is given to them voluntarily, and every penny that the state of Israel gets is stolen from someone. So it's not even a level playing field of criticism. The one of them is, oh, you have some nice things that you acquired without stealing from anyone, as opposed to, oh, you have some nice things that you stole and you have nothing except what you stole, which is the situation of every government on this earth.
I mean, to play devil's advocate literally here, is the threat of hell any less of a threat than a government gun to many people? To many people, I'd say it's more.
Well, I don't know. It's probably a worse fate than a government gun.
Yeah. So,
but it's voluntary. It's voluntary.
You know, it's voluntary because you're scared, I think. I mean, there's people that... A weird thing is there's people that melt down their wedding rings and give it to the churches. Do you know about that? Is that a thing?
I've never heard of such a thing.
That's on the Sopranos. It must be true.
It's, somebody must, somewhere must have done
in New York,
thing.
You know, the firemen.
Well, somebody's done everything, I guess. We don't eat our young.
not all of
that you know of.
I know of.
Well, I was just kind of surprised and shocked because I've never heard you cuss in several years of knowing you.
Well,
at least not when we're doing a show. And you said a dirty word
during the show.
Like, because I was suggesting selling the Vatican to feed the poor.
No, not, it wasn't during the show. It was during
the... during the break. But that's during the show.
What was the rule again? The Carell rule.
Wait,
it was during the Carell rule. The Carell rule, period.
Oh, my God. Okay, you just said it three times now. Okay, you're both crazy.
I can change the subject here with something kind of neat. Is this Saturday is going to be 4 years of this show on radio.
All right.
And that's, you know, great. What happens at 4.3 years of this show?
No. Yeah. Well, I thought you determined that no longer can happen because it was actually, the coordinates were actually off. Wasn't that the case?
Yeah, pointing the other direction, though. But, you know, stuff bounces around. It probably bounces off of a satellite and ends up in the southern hemisphere.
Worst case, maybe it'll take 5 years in order to reach somewhere else that we're not aware of yet either. Yeah. So there you go.
Is there an Earth-class planet around there?
You don't know the whole theory, man. Yeah, that's one of the Freedom Fiends. It's part of the Freedom Fiends, the Book of Fiends. It's part of our...
Fiend lore.
Fiend lore. It's part of the Genesis story of the Freedom Fiends. Well, not really Genesis story.
That there is a planet there? I mean, is there really one?
There is a Earth-like, possibly habited planet in the Alpha Centauri region, which is 4.3 light years away. So it would take radio 4.3 years to get there. So my theory is 4.3 years after we went on air, which will be in, you know, 4 months coming up here, the Alpha Centurions will hear the Freedom Fiends and say, we've been listening to this planet for 100 years. This is the first sign of actual intelligent life. And they're going to come down. This is like my religious theory, you know, and I say it's as plausible as Catholicism or Protestantism or Islam or Judaism or Hinduism or Zoroastrianism, is that the Alpha Centurions will come down and realize that there's this horrible thing here called the state, and they will give me personally their state-blocking technology.
State.
Or let me bring myself and 50 or 60 chosen ones to Alpha Centauri to live away from the state, or better yet, you know, just be able to put like state-proof domes over all our houses and continue to live here. But I'm going to be the one in charge of distributing this technology to those I like.
Of course.
So be nice to me, Randy.
And will you believe it just because they say it's true? Look around, see if there's a cookbook with us in it.
I think we need a new commercial.
How to cook 50 humans? Yeah.
50 libertarians.
This is one of the least crazy things being said on late night talk radio at this exact moment in America. Because there's people on other shows. There's a show playing right now called Coast to Coast.
I was just gonna mention that.
Where there's probably a guest saying that they've met these people and describing it in detail. So,
and you're only just predicting it as future. So,
yeah,
it's more of a hopeful prediction.
Yeah, hopeful.
Actual, you know, I don't have any gold tablets or anything like that.
It could happen.
I don't have any seer stones. Yeah.
Well,
yeah, I'm not going to get into that. We're going to lose some stations. All right, go on.
Don't do that.
All right. So
we were picking on the Pope for the last half hour. We haven't lost stations yet.
Well, I'll go on with that. I'm sticking to just what
talk,
he said.
Talk radio is run by Protestants.
I know. So let's,
we'll lose talk radio. We'll lose stations for having a Catholic on the show. What are you talking about?
Oh,
yeah, it's possible.
Pope.
I don't know.
They think the Pope's the Antichrist.
Some of them do.
No,
he dies, and then they think that the next one is him. So,
yeah, but
you know, I don't know.
Yeah, talk radio is largely run by Protestants.
So. Yeah. Well, you heard that the there's a guy who's really big on Protestant radio stations. I think they call it evangelical stations and that, which are really big around the country. A guy who's called him the Bible Answer Man. And he's real famous, you know, among a lot of churches, evangelical churches, I think you'd call them. And he came out, a month ago or something, and said that he had quit and joined the Greek Orthodox Church. And
did this upset people?
Huge storm was everywhere because of that, and I guess he must have thought that the evangelicals wouldn't notice, and of course they're looking at that and they're thinking Catholic light, you know, in terms of they might as well have. A lot of people have left Protestant churches and have joined one of the Eastern churches because they're very old traditional, like the Catholic Church is, only they're not, you know, belonging to the actual Catholic Church, which would be even less acceptable to where they came from. But they don't realize that going Greek Orthodox is not really going to be acceptable to many evangelical ones. And this guy, the big radio networks that carried this, the Bible Answer Man. Bible Answer Man's been on the radio since, I don't know, early 80s or more. And this particular guy has been doing it since 1990 or before. And they fired him. They kicked him off of all their stations, this one big network.
Wow.
And it was a big thing. You know, we do get a little excited about, you know, religious issues.
People like their religions old, but what they don't remember is the Greek Orthodox Church is like Shakespeare. They're wearing the clothing that was modern of their day.
Yeah, that's kind of annoying.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
This is the Freedom Fiends, and we're back from the market. Jeremy is with me. I'm Randy England, and we're talking about liberty and talking about, certain criticisms that are frequently leveled at libertarians or, what did you call yourself, Jeremy?
Individualist anarchist.
Individualist anarchist, or sometimes I feel like I have to call myself a libertarian anarchist, simply because there's so many libertarians out there that are what would you call it, libertarian-ish?
Yeah, people who fancy themselves. I think most of the people who call themselves that aren't that, but yeah, there's a lot of different varieties of people, of levels of what libertarianism means to them and how they apply it to them. They go, I'm a libertarian.
Yeah. I've noticed that. I'll be out talking with some friends and somebody will, they'll hear me say something that indicates I'm a libertarian. They go, well, I am too. And I go, really? You know, and you talk to them a little bit, and I think we should take away all the drug laws and that sort of thing. And then you ask them a few more questions about other things that they may feel differently about, and pretty soon you're going, sorry, man, you're not anything like a libertarian, pothead, you know? And you want to do what you want to do. It's like you've got one libertarian thing. It's for your own personal vice.
Yeah.
If you frequented prostitutes, then you would probably want to have that alone legalized. And they don't always have the idea that the idea here is not what you want. The idea here is for you to leave everybody else alone, and in the end, everyone can do anything that doesn't bother anybody else.
Yeah, well, you're right, because it's not just about what you want. It's about you letting other people do whatever they want too.
Right, and the stuff that we were talking about earlier was basically we're seen as being the selfish individualist. You mentioned Ayn Rand, and what was the title of her book that is so
the virtue
enraging?
The virtue of selfishness.
The virtue of selfishness. And I haven't read a whole lot of Ayn Rand. I read her novels and not much of the objectivist stuff, but I have had it explained to me that the virtue of selfishness is not as bad as it sounds.
It's not the title is not indicative of what actually is inside the book, but again, most people have never read it. They've heard the title and they've heard the critiques of it. Most often those critiques are by people who haven't actually read the book either.
But I mean, it's easy to do, and I suppose the title was meant to be provocative.
Yes.
And she probably got a lot of interviews on TV, when she was alive, that, were sparked by this idea. I mean, the very thing that made it so well known, the provocativeness of it, was the misunderstanding. It was provocative because it was so misunderstood. And, as I was mentioning, when I meet, I know a lot of libertarians that take the individualist label, and they're not selfish jerks. They're really nice people who, you know, would help somebody else out, and they're just not that way. And of course, for the criticism comes in that you just have nothing to help your fellow man. And you're saying, "What I everything I have is oriented toward my fellow man. I want to leave him to prosper. I don't want to bother him, get in his way, and everything." And I say, "Yeah, I want to treat my neighbor as I treat myself. I don't want to do something to them that I wouldn't want them doing to me." And those are rules, you know, that I was taught to live by, you know, since I was a little child. And then to have critics misunderstand it and say, "No, you're a selfish jerk," it's a little harsh, and it's just completely wrong. And the accusations that you care nothing for the poor, you wouldn't do anything to help them, lift a finger, and what they mean by helping them is you need to go to the ballot box and cast a vote for somebody who put a gun to somebody else's head to get some money to help the poor. And I just don't, I won't do that. I think that's immoral.
Well, me too.
And meow. I think we're coming to a...
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Thank you for being a fiend. You may know the show is Triggerweens. We're saying worms and your new bigger buttons on. And if you threw a party and invited every yak you knew, you would see we'd still follow the NAP, and we're covered by Bipcot. Thank you for being a fiend.
So we're back, and
Jeremy, hello.
Hey, Randy. Yes, I'm still here, and we've been talking off and on about liberty and misconceptions about libertarianism and liberty and stuff like that, and you know, during the break, we're talking possibly about being a little more constructive about this, and you know, not only trying to correct some of these misconceptions, but also show how you can actually. With the right ideas about what libertarianism is, how it could actually be applied to solve a lot of the issues that the people face and don't think can be fixed any other way, stuff like the welfare state, which a lot of people. I mean, I know you mentioned, Randy. You mentioned I think in that letter the Pope actually said he was against that idea, which is a good thing. That's positive to hear.
You mean was against a pure welfare state?
Yes.
Situation.
Yeah.
Because it's just a life sucking situation where you just get fed and given money and don't do or produce anything. Yeah, he said some good things about work and how important it was and how a person can't really fulfill themselves unless they actually do productive things. We don't want to, don't want to be in a position of either, having just to defend, what we do, what we say, or to be in a position of saying, "I'm not really a selfish jerk." There really are things that libertarians, if they had enough power or enough people to, how should you say, would join with you, there are many libertarian initiatives. And I hate to say things that the government could do, but I'm thinking mostly in terms of negative things the government could do.
The government would stop doing them. It would be a real big help.
Stop doing them. Yeah. I've always thought that I wish that the legislature can only pass laws every other year, and in the off year they can only repeal them. it could be, you know, really good. We have a there's a guy here in Missouri who, there's a law, and I'm sure a lot of states have this, that there's a law that when you send a bill to the legislature, it has to have a title that is descriptive, and at the beginning say, you know, what this bill is about, and then the bill has to be about what's in the title. And that says no bill can be passed, you know, that has multiple subjects in it, you know, crazy stuff that is unrelated. Everything has to be related to a single subject, and it can't be changed between the time that you introduce the bill and the time the bill gets voted in. And the idea is because, you know, you have all these shenanigans that go on where they tuck stuff into bills that nobody knows that it's there. And the state of Missouri is just notorious for tacking on 50 different topics of things, sneaking in stuff and favors for people and trading, you know, I'll stick this in your bill and you support this one for me and that. And so these bills come out there, they're just nightmarish. They have very little to do with their original title when they came in. And they get passed. Well, last year, a fellow I know here, who he's not even an attorney, but he filed a lawsuit against the legislature and the politicians that you know, put the thing in, the House leader and that. It was a very big bill, had a whole lot of stuff in it. He got the entire bill thrown out.
Wow.
Everything gone, the whole bill. This year, he's just filed another lawsuit against a big, they're always big bills because the ones they've jammed full of stuff. And he's done it. He's going to win it again. He's going to get that whole thing of the legislature thrown out, I'm betting. And he's threatening to just keep doing it. And, of course, it's probably not that much extra work once you figure out how to do it. And he won the first one, hands down. I mean, the court couldn't rule any other way. This is just their business as usual. He caught them at it, and they're still doing it. And I think it's wonderful. It's hilarious that one man who's not even a lawyer can go in and have the legislature's work from last year tossed out the window. Just gone.
Wow.
So that's kind of neat. And I guess I went off on a tangent there, but it's pretty amazing. But that, I guess that had to do with repealing. He repealed that bill from last year, and he's repealing another one this year. So maybe my idea about the legislature doing it every other year can be handled in another way. But one thing I'm thinking of that, you know, government can do is there was a way to, there's so many things that you could help people, and particularly business is really the best way to help people, and small business, you know, entrepreneurism. And you're an entrepreneur.
Yes, yes, I am.
And I am too. I have a small business, and it's really a good way to make a living. The quality of life is better than, you know, many other ones. And for some people, it's the only sort of business,
yeah,
only sort of living that they would want to make. That's not me. Some of us are more psychologically suited to keep our own way, do things our way. And sure enough, though, there's the government, you know, just standing right there in our path when we want to do something like start a buffalo farm, or right?
Well, exactly.
And yes, and or a yak farm or something like that. And of course, government is in there. If you're a big enough business, you can afford lobbyists and that, and they go into, you know, Washington, D.C. or whatever, and you get, you know, government subsidies to business, you know, protective tariffs. Trump seems to be real big on protective tariffs, where one little segment gets a big advantage and makes the public pay for it. And, you know, we saw back at the beginning of Obama administration, right after the last recession kicked in, you know, the too big to fail, you know, corporate bailouts, and they're in there. And then, of course, you always have, let's find the word, eminent domain, you know, to destroy whole neighborhoods, so the big businesses. Yes,
for those who don't know, that's eminent domain. That's a fancy word for theft.
Yeah, they come in and write you a check and say, we just bought your property. And the price is, you know, it's a bargain. It's supposed to be fair market value, but even if it was fair market value, that's kind of irrelevant.
Yeah, because when it's not a voluntary transaction. It's not like, hey, I want to sell my place. Let me offer it to you. It's like, no, we're going to buy your place, and whether you like the deal or not, you're taking the deal, and that's just the way it's going to be.
And the worst of it, of course, the Supreme Court. I mean, they dropped the ball on this thing several years ago because the Constitution, if you just follow that, sometimes things would be better. Says that the government can take land for a public purpose. And now they decided that a public purpose is that if some poor guy owns some land and a rich guy could buy it and, you know, have to pay more taxes on it, then that's a good public purpose. And so now just businesses can come in and steal, you know, at the forced sale at bargain prices from people. And you got, and what else? Intellectual property laws, that has the effect mainly of protecting monopolies. And it stifles creativity that could, you know, build on inventions and written things and that. They could get rid of all those things.
Well, exactly.
And, you know, forget all the regulations that we've got. Were you mentioning the FDA earlier?
The
FDA could, like, disappear and maybe underwriters' laboratories could kind of come in and test products and drugs or whatever,
and it would probably do a heck of a better job. And that's,
oh my,
but that's the point, because it's not necessarily, you know, what government could do. It's like government literally could just get out of the way in all of these ways, and it would be much, you know, it would be a much more productive society, and it would naturally fall in line with libertarian principles, as we've been discussing throughout the show. But with just government getting out of the way, whether it is the FDA you get rid of, or, you know, going back to the whole entrepreneurial thing, even just the business licensing structure, like that whole thing, all that does is drive the people with the poorest people out of the market altogether.
You know, exactly.
You know.
And now in your business, do you have to have a business license, right?
In my current business, no. There actually is not a business license for what I have been doing for the past.
How about an occupational license?
No, I actually checked, and I think I've talked about this on the show before, because I started this, you know, I started this company well over a decade ago, and I was a very, very good little statist back then. I was such a good little statist that I wanted to be as official as I could when I started my company, because I realized that it was predominantly female driven. So as like one of the few males in the field, I had to, like, you know, I had to present myself as very, you know, very professional, very trusting and everything, because people just naturally trust women in their houses more readily than they will some male they don't know, which I understand, you know, to a certain extent. And they, so I just went out and I went out, tried to find, you know, I got insurance and my dishonesty bond, and I actually went looking for a license. And when I found out there wasn't one, I was actually disappointed and actually considered petitioning my government to have one created.
It took you almost no time to move to that position.
Oh my gosh, yes, I was horrible.
It took us lawyers, we took decades to get up to full licensing, and you were going to do it single-handedly.
Oh yes, I was going to ruin life for everybody in my industry all by myself. Thankfully, I did not pursue that to the fullest. There actually isn't one. So I never had to actually deal with that, which was good.
Now if you could get that in, you could work it out so it would be really hard to get into the, you know, the pet care dog walking business and the same things that you do, but you would grandfather yourself in because you're established.
Oh yes, I would be the person, you know, the one who created the regulation, which is how it kind of works now anyway with the bigger companies.
Well, you'd be sitting in the middle chair on the board that said who was getting disbarred from dog walking and all of that.
Exactly. So, like I said, thankfully, I did not go that route.
Well, I appreciate that you didn't. I really do. And, you know, this junk, I mean, the occupational licensing, it's something like 30% of all jobs in the whole country.
Yeah, it's insane.
You have to have a government permission to even do the job. It's just
to be
nuts.
A hairdresser, like, for people to voluntarily come to you and say, hey, cut my hair or do this to my hair, you need to have a license for that. Like,
and a barber, a haircut? I mean, mean, what are you protecting the public from? A bad haircut?
Exactly.
It's just hair.
Yeah. It'll grow back.
So the government has just got, there's so much zoning laws and reuse restrictions on land. There's so much of that is completely unnecessary. I don't get it. I really don't.
Revenue, but yeah. We'll be back.
I mean, if you want to, as far as I'm concerned, you want to get a call.
Yeah.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Do you want to make money working at home? Join the high-stakes world of selling BIPCOT No Gov merchandise. The BIPCOT No Government License is licensed under the BIPCOT No Government License, which means that you can go to BIPCOT.org, download the high-res logos, and make your own BIPCOT No Government merchandise to sell. The best part is you keep all the profits. And if you send a picture and mail a sample to the good people at BIPCOT.org, they might even help you promote it for free.
As long as you're not a government or a government agent and you don't advocate for any governments in any way.
Help promote liberty, make money, have fun, meet interesting people, be the envy of all your friends, be the coolest kid at FiendFest Somalia, laugh at the state while it collapses, all while making and selling your own BIPCOT.org merchandise. What will you design? Get creative. Lots of folks are doing it, but there's always room for more. There are BIPCOT t-shirts, flags, drink cozies, turntable mats, BIPstrong bracelets, BIPCOT stickers, playing cards, and even Glock pistol backplates. You might even get mentioned on the Freedom Fiends. You're still kicking yourself for missing out on the start of Bitcoin. Don't miss out on BIPCOT. Get in on the ground floor now.
Not a guarantee.
Start your new life today at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org.
Fiends are back, and this is the last segment of the hour. And we were talking about Jeremy and me, Randy England, talking about some positive things that the state could do that would help people who need some help, and it might do some more good than just simply giving handouts and that sort of thing. How do you feel about the minimum wage, Jeremy?
Oh, the minimum wage is horrible for so many reasons. least of which is the reason it was started, which was originally to continue to put the poor black man down. But it's just another thing that ends up stifling. It ends up cutting the least skilled out of the market altogether. With all this talk of the fight for 15, which is actually occurred in crazy places like Seattle, I think, and other places that actually pass these ridiculous laws. Anytime you raise the minimum wage, all you're doing is knocking the lowest skilled people out, because most business owners are either not going to pay people that have like these minimal skills. They're going to find ways around paying people that kind of money because it's not worth it for them. It's not cost effective. Or smaller businesses that are now forced to pay this type of salary end up closing up shop because they can't afford. They actually literally can't afford to pay their workers.
You know, the guy who is at that minimum wage, and what we're talking here is minimum skill. If the minimum wage is $8 an hour, and you're just getting started, and you can produce at a rate of $7 an hour, it's kind of like you're standing on the bottom rung of the ladder, and the guys above you, which include everybody else in the world, including the government, they're kicking you off that bottom rung.
Exactly. You know,
they said, I'm sorry, but only people that can produce $8 an hour are allowed to work in this society. And minimum wage turns out to simply be a barrier between a low-skilled person. Now, I don't mean that in any kind of majority of the way. I was once a low-skilled worker.
Exactly. And, you know, I mean, even myself, I mean, I have a bunch of skills, but I may need to take a job in the interim on my way to my bison farm. That's gonna be outside of my skill set. So I would actually be a low-skilled worker in that situation. So, yeah, it's not an insult. It's just you don't have the skills for whatever it is that you're for whatever it is that's out there. And, you know, you have a limited ability to take something. But yeah,
the employer would have to be a criminal to allow you to work in that area at the level of your skill.
Yeah. Yeah,
because
exactly.
They would have to pay you too little. Offense or anything, of course. You know?
Yeah, but
this is very hypothetical.
Yeah, but it also. I mean, it's literally telling people that you're not allowed to engage in this voluntary transaction of offering a service for a certain amount of money. Because say somebody's willing to take, say even somebody's willing to take less money because they want the job that much more and they think they can, you know, whatever. You're telling, you know, you're saying that no, that's wrong. You're not allowed to voluntarily agree to take this amount of money. Like, you know, the people who complain about the illegal aliens coming to take their job because they'll work for cheaper. It's like, well, a lot of places they make a lot less money. So to come here and to make what you think is horrible for the people who believe in minimum wage and think it's way too low to begin with. Like for somebody, a salary that you think is horrible for somebody like them, where they would be sending money back to their family who lives there, it would actually be a huge amount of money, and they'd be quite happy with that amount of money because it's worlds more than they would get anywhere else. And you're telling them, no, that's wrong, that's illegal. One of you is going to be punished for that situation instead of helped.
And they want to demonize the one merchant. They want to demonize the one guy who is offering you the very best opportunity you're going to get.
Yeah.
I mean, there could be 10 guys out there that would hire you at $7, $6, $5 an hour, but it's the guy that's at the $7 mark that, is you're kept from going to that one. It's kind of rough.
Yeah.
And it's counterintuitive. It just isn't working.
Yeah. So that's just another one of the things. Government would just get out of the way and let people conduct business. So you talk about the greater good, the common good that they always like to talk about, like the Pope. You know, the Pope had mentioned in that letter a bunch of times. He said stuff like this would actually help the greater amount of people.
Absolutely. Well, Jeremy, I have had a wonderful evening on the show with you tonight.
Well,
but I think we're about at the end of it here.
Yes, been a great show. So.
But that doesn't mean there aren't lots more things the government could get rid of. We just don't have time to get rid of it tonight.